back to Beauty Marks Podcast, a space where we embrace our marks acquired through our journey. My name is Elizabeth Savillon, and I am so glad that you are here with us today. I am here at High Hello Labs in downtown Orlando in this beautiful studio space, and I'm just very excited that you have chosen this episode because we are talking all about body positivity, loving our bodies, and a whole bunch of other things that a lot of women can relate to. And so if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review. And all of that helps us to grow our community, which I love, as well as if you are a woman here in Orlando, you can join our She Cultivates community, which we do events every month. And it's all about cultivating community that is a little bit deeper than just a meetup. It's like you want to find your people, and this is the place to go to do that. And for today's episode, I am very excited because I actually met someone through the She Cultivates community. And I have met amazing women that not only, I would say, like, are entrepreneurs or different things like that, but it's like women that I feel like live with purpose and move with purpose and that do things that want to impact other women. And I feel like that's beautiful because sometimes, and something that I share on this podcast a lot, is how important it is to sometimes serve other people. And that helps you also find that passion and purpose and kind of like so much, I don't know, pleasure, I guess, in like helping other people. Mm-hmm. So I want to welcome Melissa to the podcast. Welcome to Beauty Marks Podcast.
Thank you so much. Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here. And yes, we did meet at one of your events. So I can for sure vouch for the She Cultivates events. They are amazing. They're so detail oriented. And everything that you guys do is for the purpose of cultivating actual real friendships and relationships within those events. So I've met such incredible women that I get to call my friends now. And I met you, and here we are today.
I know.
So I for sure cannot wait for the next one.
Thank you. No, she has been a supporter since, I feel like, September, right?
September. I've been going to each and every one.
Yes. Yeah. So, no, I appreciate you. And I feel like you're, aside from you being an entrepreneur woman, she is a author. She has a published journal. So that is, girl, we got to, yes, ma'am. And I'm just really excited to have you on to talk about something that you are passionate about, you do, and you, I feel like, you embody that in the way that you carry yourself, but also in the way that you show up for your community and all of that. So mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit about what you're passionate about?
Oh, such a good question. I am passionate about everything movement, mm-hmm. all forms of movement. Mm-hmm. I love how versatile it is, how fluid it is. And I feel like the way that I choose to move that day really depends on how I'm feeling and what my body needs. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the days that I lift, oh, I love the release that I get from it. I love mm-hmm. how powerful I feel after a good lifting session. Mm-hmm. But then the days that I feel more softer, I do yoga and I love like the peace that I feel from it. And I love how connected I feel to my body afterwards. Mm-hmm. And then if I want to have fun, I love to dance and bike ride mm-hmm. and talk about salsa. Uh-huh. I just love how like sensual I feel and how like connected I feel to like my Dominican culture afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I feel like movement to me encompasses so much because it really meets me where I am in that day. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about it, is that it changes with me as I go through different stages in mm-hmm. life. And that's what I feel most people forget about, honestly. They mm-hmm. hear the word, you know, movement and exercise, and they put it in a small box. Yeah. They label it as one or the other. Mm-hmm. And they try to do the same thing over and over again. And they get tired and they fall off. But it was because they got bored or they just didn't mm-hmm. actually enjoy that form of movement. And instead of quitting, all they had to do was explore different yeah. forms of movement. You know, there's so many things that you can do with your body. And your body is this amazing machine, capable of doing so many different things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's there for us to explore, you yeah. know, and to nurture.
But so. We just, I feel like, don't really know or learn about mm-hmm. those things. So like my, even growing up, I grew up in sports. So I played volleyball, mm-hmm. soccer in high school. And I feel like that was my form of exercise, right? And then once I got out of that, like out of high school, it was like, then I tried CrossFit, then I tried running. Like, it's like you learn all these other things. And then it's like sometimes, like how you said, sometimes it just doesn't work for you anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what can I do that's different, mm-hmm. you know? And sometimes that can be discouraging for someone that it's like, well, yeah, but I don't like running, or I don't like lifting weights like that, mm-hmm. or I don't want to get bulky. You know, people have yeah. misconceptions of what working out looks like. And I love how you said that. It's like you can find your flow and what works for you based mm-hmm. on the day, mm-hmm. based on the week, based on when you're on your period. You cannot, like sometimes I'm like, I do not want to do leg days. I'm sorry.
No,
like,
absolutely not.
So it's like something that, you know, you feel a little bit better about, you know. So I love how you shared that. And then salsa, of course, mm-hmm. dancing. I feel like that has been something that I've enjoyed, mm-hmm. and I have found so much like healing through that of my mm-hmm. body, because I'm like, wow. I think I've shared before, and we'll talk about it more, but I had like I've been having a hormone issue, and so that was frustrating, because when I would do HIIT, that would actually stress my body more, mm-hmm. and so I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? Like, what, you know? So it's like trying to figure out those things that work for me in mm-hmm. this season that are still important, as like walking or mm-hmm. other things like that. Yeah. And I know that you've gone through something like that as well, about mm-hmm. where that kind of passion came from. So can you share a little bit about that?
Oh, yes. But yeah, as you said, I feel like through the years, we're taught that exercise looks like a certain thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you do it and then you fall off, and you do it and you fall off, and you feel like so much shame because you can't stay consistent or you can't figure it out on mm-hmm. your own. And I feel like my journey came from struggling with body shame, you know, mm-hmm. from not feeling like I was ever enough or I was ever good enough, you know. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I hated my body, and I hated like the way that it looked, and I hated, and it was because I was constantly comparing it to what I saw in magazines, what I saw in shows. And it honestly wasn't until I began like strengthening my relationship with God, reading the Bible, and understanding that my body is actually my temple, and it's my home, and it's where my spirit is, that I actually decided that, okay, I have to treat it like it's my home, like it's my temple. I need to take mm-hmm. care of it from the inside out, mm-hmm. not so that way I could look a certain way, but this way I could feel happy, mm-hmm. that I could feel at home within mm-hmm. my body.
Yeah.
You know, and it took a lot of time, took a lot of different podcasts mm-hmm. and reading and just like self-reflection and writing. But ultimately, it got to the point where I was becoming aware of the words that I was using to describe myself, words that I was using to speak to myself. And I knew that something had to change. And it all began from the way that I was treating myself, the way that I was speaking to myself, and relabeling exercise. Mm-hmm. Before, I used to see exercise as like a form of punishment. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I ate pizza and now I have to like go run a mile. Like, oh my mm-hmm. God, I just had Chinese food and now I have to do some crunches. Like mm-hmm. it was always like, oh, because I did this, I have to force myself to do that. Yeah. When reality, a movement is a blessing, you know. Mm-hmm. We're not promised to move a certain way for the rest of our lives. You know, accidents happen, things happen, sickness happens. There's going to be a time in your life that you look back and you're wishing that you could move the way that you do now, mm-hmm. you know. And moving today as a gratitude just because you can move. Mm-hmm. And then finding like joy in movement, like dancing or bike riding mm-hmm. or just playing tag with like your kids or mm-hmm. your niece, like finding different forms of movement that actually bring joy to you mm-hmm. and being willing to explore and to fail and to feel awkward or,
yeah,
you know, but just for the sake of exploring it, you know, made all the difference for me.
Yeah.
And it was just that mindset shift of just labeling movement and exercise as something different other than punishment.
Yeah. Because yeah. Where did that stem from? Like, did you grow up like in a certain, like, did you grow up with these labels? Were you like, because I know you shared mm-hmm. a little bit about like that you felt like compared to your sisters mm-hmm. or things about yourself that you yeah. felt like you were overweight. Like, so that was something that you carried. So can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. I feel like for me, I mean, a lot of it came from one society is like growing up, you know, seeing the Victoria's Secret models and mm-hmm. the people on MTV and just being like, okay, I don't look like that. Mm-hmm. And also growing up, you know, I love food. I still love food. So growing up, you know, I was labeled as chubbier compared to my sisters, basically. Mm-hmm. And my mother and, you know, they all mean well, but you know, people make comments of like your weight when you're growing up, and they're just like, oh, don't eat that because you're getting too big, you know. And I felt like I almost internalized that, internalized the fact that I was the chubby sister, that I was a little bit heavier than everybody else. And I will say, looking back though, body shame wasn't my fault, and it isn't your fault. You know, we weren't born hating our bodies. You know, I don't think God ever intended for us to feel shame over the body that he gave us. But somewhere along the way, we were told that we weren't good enough, that we looked a little bit different, and that in order to be successful or be loved or be deemed worthy or be, you know, be able to have the positions that you want to have, that you needed to look and act a certain way, you know. And it was that mislabeling that happened even at a young age with parents or family members or society, even if it wasn't really intended. It was just like the labels that I honestly feel like I got from a little bit of everywhere, TV, you know.
It's like, okay, from this, or like even incidences that happen in our life that you're like, once that, like, I never was insecure about this until this one person pointed it out. And then it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, where did I get that from? And it was like, you can trace it back to a certain moment, you know, sometimes.
And sometimes it isn't just one moment. Sometimes it's accumulation of all these different moments that kind of just continue to build up and add to it, till all of a sudden you find yourself, you're like, how did I get here? Like, what happened? Why do I feel this way about myself?
You're like, I wasn't insecure about this.
And now I'm like, oh.
No, that's so good. Because I shared this one time on my podcast, and I haven't talked about it in a while, but I was looking forward to our conversation, because I'm like, I remember how insecure I felt, like, of being raised around people that looked very different from me, and also the way that I was talked about by other people. So, like, I've always been curvier. Like, I've always been someone that has, like, legs and a butt. And I hated that, because I got attention from people, like, guys, right? And I was like, don't look at me. Like, I would, like, wear things around my, like, waist. I would, like, I hated that feeling of, like, being looked at in that way.
And you were raised in Oklahoma, right? So there probably wasn't a lot of different
than me. They're like, you're not from here. No, but it was definitely, like, that insecurity of, like, feeling, like, the attention, that unwanted attention. And if you guys know my story, I shared about, like, you know, my childhood. And so those things played into the labels that I carried for myself of, like, my body is, like, ugh, like, it's shameful, you know, instead of being like, no, like, my body's different. And, like, I feel safe with my body, you know. And we talk a lot about that. And the one time that we met, about, like, feeling safe within our body as an adult, because you didn't feel safe, or you felt shame, or you felt like the way that you talk to yourself was not healthy. All those things, like, they play a huge part. But at least for me, I had to, like, heal those things of, like, what are the thoughts that I had about myself, and what are the incidences that happened that made me start believing that about myself. So I went through, like, disordered eating. I went through all these things that I look back and I'm like, I wasted so much time obsessing about, like, my body, you know. And even as an adult, like, I feel like that's always, like, in conversations, like, the holidays, everything is like, oh, you know, like, gotta lose weight, gotta gain weight. Wedding culture, I'm sure you know. It's like, you gotta lose the weight, you know, because
you gotta fit your dress.
You got, instead of getting a dress that just fits you, you're like, so it's like the obsession of, like, changing. And it's just like, do we ever, like, grow out of that, you know?
And sometimes I question that myself too, because I've come such a long way. But you're right, there's days where it's like you just fall back into it. Like, for example, I literally just got married, like, last month. And
congrats.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you. But even while I was, like, making the preparations, you know, and I was getting the dress fittings, like, there was parts of me was like, oh, should I lose, like, 5 more pounds? And I've done all this work. I have a whole fitness journal. And but yeah, here I am, like, should I go ahead and do that? Should I, you know? But I think what's important is that you gain awareness, you know, even though, like, these thoughts kept coming up, I didn't let them, like, sit and fester for too long, because I was aware that, oh, there's that thought again, like, you know, Melissa, like, you're fine, like, you're beautiful, you're getting married, he met you this way, like, you know, you know, like, it's not needed. As long as you're happy and healthy and you feel good and you're still moving and, you know, you feel good, then that's all really that matters. You know? So to answer your question, I feel like it doesn't go away 100%, mm-hmm. but I feel like you can get to a point where you feel good and become aware when those thoughts start to resurface, mm-hmm. and now you can be proactive about it.
Yeah.
You know, you can take the steps that are needed to get your mind right again.
Yeah, for sure. It is said that in life you must have a good friend, a good doctor, a good lawyer, and a good accountant. In the matters of a good accountant, Florida Business Services is the right choice. With more than 30 years of professional experience, personalized service, and excellent customer service, contact them today for any accounting, taxes, business startup, or payroll needs. You can contact them at 407-723-1333 or visit their website at flbusinessservices.com. Thank you, Florida Business Services, for sponsoring this episode. You guys know I'm a mental health advocate and I talk about therapy a lot because I have seen how life-changing it has been for my life through things that I've walked through and has helped me to have tools to navigate life. If you have a clinical mental health issue like depression or anxiety, therapy can give you the tools to approach your life in a very different way. And that's why I am excited to tell you about today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible to us all. Finding a therapist can be really hard, especially when you're limited to the options in your area. BetterHelp is a platform that makes finding a therapist easier because it's online, it's remote, and by filling out a few questions, you can get matched with a professional therapist in a few days. It's easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist by following the link betterhelp.com/beautymarkspodcast. By clicking that link, it helps support this show, but it also gets you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp. And because finding a therapist is kind of like dating, if you don't really fit with that therapist, you can find a better match for you by easily switching to a new therapist at no additional cost. I have been in therapy on and off for the past few years and have embraced looking for help when I need it. I have found so much support through different seasons of my life, and I know you can too. So if you're struggling or need to talk to someone, consider online therapy with BetterHelp. Better H-E-L-P. Click the link in the description or visit betterhelp.com/beautymarkspodcast. Thank you again, BetterHelp, for supporting this podcast. Now back to the show. When you shared, and I know you talked about it earlier about like feeling safe or, you know, maybe the times that you have felt disconnected from your body, mm-hmm. how did that look like for you?
The times that I felt safe?
Like disconnected from your body.
Oh, yeah. I feel like, okay, so our bodies are always on our side. Even when they're sick, it's trying the best that they can under mm-hmm. the circumstances. And your body will speak to you. Mm-hmm. You know, it will speak to you through emotions, through signals, through cravings. Mm-hmm. It will tell you what it needs. But the problem is that we get really good at pressing that snooze button, mm-hmm. at just like, ignoring the signals we're like, oh, I can't deal with this right now. I have like all these things happening. I mm-hmm. have to do this, that. We're really good at keeping busy, at striving to make our bodies into something that it was never meant to be made, that we just continue to ignore it. Mm-hmm. And what that happens over time is that it creates a disconnect from your body that you're no longer able to notice when something's going wrong, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like you don't notice when it's giving you signs to like slow down. You mm-hmm. need to slow down. You need to rest because you're just like pushing through. Mm-hmm. And I feel like what happens is that one day you wake up and all of a sudden your body just crashes.
Yeah.
You know, it took me so long to realize it, and maybe I'll share it, but like maybe it seems so basic because it is, but our bodies, our mind and our spirit, they're mm-hmm. all interconnected, mm-hmm. you know? You can't hate one and love the other, mm-hmm. you know? You can't treat yourself poorly. You can't speak to yourself in a negative way. You can't feed your body, like, trash food. You can't move too much or move too little and then expect your body to just work perfectly. You can't surround yourself with toxic people and expect your body to not respond mm-hmm. eventually. You know, yeah. it might go on.
Take some time. It, yeah. You know, it might. It's like, well, we're doing what we have to do.
Yeah. But your body is so good at surviving and thriving, mm-hmm. that it will do that. It will just kind of keep going. It'll mm-hmm. keep pushing, basically. But at some point, it does respond. And yeah. that's where it does take a toll on it, you mm-hmm. know? And I feel like that's where the disconnect comes from, is that yeah. you feel all this shame and you're treating your body a certain way, mm-hmm. that it does create that disconnect, you know?
Yeah. Because it's like you want to also, like, prove to yourself sometimes that you're like, I got it. Like, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm great. Or like, mm-hmm. like how you said, you're missing those marks or those, like, signs. Mm-hmm. And how many times have I even fallen into that yeah. of, like, feeling like, oh, my God, I didn't get sick for months. Mm-hmm. And then I get super sick. Like, mm-hmm. not just sick. I get super sick.
Yeah. That takes you out for a whole week.
Yes. And it's like, well, you needed to rest. And now
we're
you
like,
get
it. You probably could have been fine if you just, like, you know, rested one day last
literally.
Month or something.
Or even, like, the thought of, or even the feeling of, like, being on the fight or flight mode, mm-hmm. you know, which a lot of us, when you feel disconnected with your body, and I shared this before too, of like when you've gone through trauma and things like that, like your body's in that stress. Mm-hmm. And so you live in that for a long time, that your body ends up starting to show things mm-hmm. that aren't normal, you know? Yeah. They're like, hey, we've been doing it, but now I can't anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to slow down, or you need to, that sometimes affects your gut, that sometimes mm-hmm. affects your hormones, it mm-hmm. affects so many things, because there was a prolonged period of time that mm-hmm. you were not paying attention to mm-hmm. those parts in your body, mm-hmm. And you didn't slow down, mm-hmm. and all of that, which I have been in that.
I was going to say, I know that you shared a lot about, like, what happened with, like, your hormones and mm-hmm. everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's sometimes that I felt guilty and shamed for that, because even and I'm going to do an episode about being in, like, a trauma bond in a relationship. I didn't see how that was affecting my body. Mm-hmm. And I already felt a certain way about my body. I was very insecure during that period. And I was way skinnier, but it was just the mindset that I had about mm-hmm. myself, and then being in a toxic environment mm-hmm. that affected my body, that sometimes I'm like, wow, I really let myself get to a very low point where my body started shutting down. Like, I ended up having mm-hmm. moments of passing out. Like, I couldn't even drive anymore. Mm-hmm. I had my parents pick me up twice because I couldn't drive home. I had, like, literally, like, bumps on mm-hmm. my skin. Like, I was like, what is happening? Uh-huh. Like, it was like, you know how they say in the Bible, it's like the, was it the warts or the, what is it called,
the
yeah, it's, yeah, like a rash yes. in our body. It was like, is this a plague? Like, what is happening to me?
Yeah.
So all that to say, it's like there are definitely signs of mm-hmm. that, you know. And so how were you able then to get from that? What was the moment that you're like, all right, I want to make a change?
Yeah.
Like, how did that look like?
I feel like it wasn't one moment. It was just a series of, like, small moments where mm-hmm. knowing that, like, all right, I'm not happy. Something needs to change. Something needs to give. Mm-hmm. And bringing it back to, like, the Bible is really – I read this verse in 1 Corinthians that said, like, you know, I have a quote right there. I don't know why I'm blanking on it now, but basically how your body is like a temple. Mm-hmm. And it really was like that verse that kind of like helped wake me up and be like, okay, like if my body is my home, I have to start treating it mm-hmm. like my home. Mm-hmm. You know, you take care of things like your home, you do your laundry, you mm-hmm. wash your dishes, you clean your car, mm-hmm. you do the things to maintain your home. Mm-hmm. So why can't you do the same thing for your body? And mm-hmm. I felt like it started with just gaining awareness, mm-hmm. just listening to what I was doing on my day-to-day, listening to how I was speaking, how I was treating my body, and then really digging back as to why I felt so much shame from my body and where it came from. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of, like, self-reflection, like, okay, where did this come from? Like, why is it that I feel fat? Why is it that I feel like I'm not worthy? Why mm-hmm. is it that I feel like I need to look a certain way in order to feel loved? And I started really peeling back the layers as mm-hmm. to, like, where all this came from, you mm-hmm. know? Because again, what I said earlier is that body shame isn't something that you're born with, it's something that you're taught. So really understanding where the root cause was mm-hmm. and then working from there.
Yeah.
So it took a lot of, like, self-reflection and awareness, and then building up from there.
Yeah.
And then actually thinking about my mindset and, okay, so what are the words or the beliefs that I have in my body right now that are no longer serving me, mm-hmm. you know? And the thing that's great is that even though body shame isn't your fault, it's something that you were taught, you still have the power, mm-hmm. you know? Like, you get to decide which beliefs or which names you agree with and which you don't, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's your job to take back that narrative, yeah. you know?
Like, take your power back.
Take your power fully. Back. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, like, when I was doing my self-reflection and everything, I was thinking as to, like, what are the things that I'm saying to myself and how could I replace the ones that mm-hmm. are no longer serving me? What is it that I want to say or feel about my body? Mm-hmm. And then just repeating those things to myself, yeah. you know?
So what was the main one that you feel like kept going, like, was holding you back for so long?
That was holding me back? That... in order to be loved, I needed to look a certain way, that I needed to be perfect. And it's funny because when I was growing up, my dad used to say this thing, which I think he just, you know, meant it out of love. But mm-hmm. I feel he used to say, oh, there's three people in this world that I consider almost perfect. It's you, my sister, and like a cousin or something. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I internalize that. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. like, he thinks I'm almost perfect, so I have to be perfect mm-hmm. in order to, you know, make sure that I keep in his good graces yeah. or I keep in his love, mm-hmm. you know? And I felt like that stemmed this, like, need for perfection. I'm a yeah. perfectionist at heart, and it's something that I'm trying to, like, mm-hmm. calm down from. But unfortunately, like, it still likes to rear its head.
Yeah.
But it's that, like, in order to be loved, in order to feel like I'm worthy, I need to be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I need to look perfect. I need to be a certain size, you mm-hmm. know? But the thing is that perfection is so objective. Like, what you think perfection yeah. is not what I think, mm-hmm. you know? So it came to the point of understanding, where did this idea of perfection come from mm-hmm. and how could I change that narrative
yeah.
to make it more flexible, more compassionate, mm-hmm. you know? It really came down to being compassionate and just knowing that, like, the way that I was feeling, the shame, wasn't something that I did on purpose. It was something that, you know, as a young girl kind of just happens and mm-hmm. you have no idea it's happening until you look back years later and you're like, oh, what happened?
Yeah, and how that can hold you back from exactly. like living your life, because it's like exactly. you're in that perfection, you know? Because I'm sure a lot of the listeners here know, it's like when you're raised in the culture of, like, you know, this is what perfect looks like, this is how you need to be, it's like then you literally start thinking like that becomes your identity almost yeah. like it's like I am my body, you know what I mean? How yeah. good I look is what
yeah.
is valuable, mm-hmm. you know, it's my worth. So it's like, if I lose this, what do I have? Like, mm-hmm. I won't have the attention, or I won't be accepted in, or I won't, you know what I mean? All those things that it's like, then you realize, you're like, wait, that's not true, mm-hmm. you know, because our bodies change, mm-hmm. you know? And I know, and if you feel comfortable about sharing it, when we were talking about, like, being single and like the way that you see yourself as a single and having those insecurities, mm-hmm. how that can sometimes feel like, how will I find someone at this weight? Like, mm-hmm. sometimes you literally go into this spiral of negative, not true yeah. thoughts of like, well, it's because I'm this weight that's why I'm not loved, mm-hmm. or it's because I look like this, or because I don't look like her, or like, you know, and sometimes that's not even it. Like, there's someone that can love you as you are, mm-hmm. but it's also like the things that you're telling yourself that can sometimes even stop you from even wanting to date, because mm-hmm. you're like, no, until I lose X amount of weight, that's mm-hmm. when I'll be good, you yeah. know? And so what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I remember us sharing about it because, yes, I just got married. But before then, I was single for a very long time. And all my friends were getting married and having kids. And I was like, what is wrong with me? And I mm-hmm. think it was during the time – it was before I started really digging into my body acceptance that I feel like during that period – it almost just like fed into it, like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm not getting married or I'm not dating because like my body isn't the way that it's supposed to be. And it almost feeds into that idea, that lie, mm-hmm. that in order to be loved, you need to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that I didn't meet my now husband until I was fully, I would say, like, healed from that, idea mm-hmm. that I needed to look a certain way in order mm-hmm. to be loved, you know? Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where I was honestly okay, you know, being alone. I was honestly okay. Here's the thing. I feel like we tend to try to make a home and other people and other places. But the problem with that is that it's very temporary, you know, that apart from God, you can't depend on other people to make you feel loved, to make you feel whole, to make you feel happy. That job is yours. Like, that's your responsibility, you know? So in order to be able to be the right partner for somebody, you have to feel okay with yourself, because you're not guaranteed to have that partner for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's recognizing that in the end of the day, whether you're married or not, knowing that there will come a time that you will be alone, you know? And are you going to be okay with that? You know, are you going to be okay with yourself? Yeah, with your own home, you know? I love my husband, but I know that, you know, like, God forbid, there will be a day that I don't have him anymore, you know? Am I going to be okay, like, being home in this home?
Yeah.
You know, because this is my home, you know? Like, my home is not in him.
Yeah.
My home is not where we live either. My spirit is in here. This is my home. That's your home.
Yeah. You know? That's so good.
And that's, and your body is literally the only thing that you're guaranteed to have for the rest of your life, you know? And we need to take care of it, because it's going to be our own home until the day that we die.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, of course. And I love how you explain it. And I know even in the content that you share, it's like, you're like, that's how you see, like, your body. It's more of like, not seeing it as like a duty of like, oh, like, I'm here. Like, it's like, no, this is like carrying you every single day. This is like what you come home to. And I, of course, I agree completely with the mindset of like, you are not whole, like, you're whole by yourself. Like, you're not needing, you know what I mean? Like, that's just an addition to your life. And I love how you shared how at the end of the day, like, you feeling comfortable with yourself, then you feel like brought that of like, wow, like, this person, I am who I am, and I come as a whole person, and that person just adding to my life. And I feel like a lot of people, and I see on social media a lot, which makes me sad, to be honest, of like younger girls that are like in this like mindset still of like, no, like, once I find this I will be so complete. And it's like, girl, like, it's not even like that. Like, I feel like I've seen how even myself, like, where I'm like, if I just get that, then I will be happy. Like, if I just get that. And it's like, my, whatever I feel on the inside projects onto what my relationship, you know? And so it's like, you being able to have the time to like work on those things is so special, because it's like you're able to like come as a whole person. So I'm very passionate about that.
I know, and that's literally a beautiful thing, because look, like, you obviously shared very openly about your past relationships and the toxicity of it, but look at what you're doing now. And I feel like there's no way that you would have been able to become the person who you are today if you didn't let that chapter of yourself go, you know, if you didn't really like do the work that you needed to do to really heal from those experiences, you know, and really accept yourself for who you are. I know we talked a little bit about how you avoided doing like video for a while because you weren't okay with that.
Because I had, like, once I went through the breakup, I gained like a lot of weight in like a year. And I remember like first feeling comfortable, and we can talk about that, of like how your body's changing. And at first I would wear the baggiest stuff. I would, like, I didn't know how to dress my body anymore, because I was at this size for so long, and now my body was changing, and I just felt so insecure. And I was like, oh my God, I do not want to wear those pants, can't wear that top anymore, can't wear like, and I remember keeping like I can remember the moment that it was like, I felt like my closet was half who I was and half who I am today. But I like didn't want to let go who I was, right? Because I was at this size. And I was like, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to buy this size. Like, if I buy this size, it's like I'm accepting it, you know? But I remember as my body kept changing, I got a trainer. I did all the things. Like,
that you were supposed to do.
That I was supposed to. And it was like literally, my body was just like stuck. Like, I was like, I can't lose weight. I feel like I'm gaining weight when I'm obsessing about my weight. And it was so frustrating, because I'm like, I don't even have kids. Literally, the thought that I would get who was like, I don't even have kids yet. I cannot imagine how I'm going to look like that when I even have kids. Because right now I should be in my hottest body, right? Because I'm single. And I'm definitely not. Like, and I remember how much shame and like just disgust I honestly had for my body. And not only that, it was the external factors. I remember I didn't even want to go. I remember because of like COVID, you know, churches were even online at the time. And I didn't even want to go to church. Like, I didn't want to go anywhere. I'm like, people are going to be like, oh, my God, during, you know, because a lot of people lost weight during COVID, like that year. Like, no, your girl gained so much weight. So I was like, I don't want anyone to see me until, you know, so it took a long time. Mm-hmm. So honestly, I say it's a joke how God works, but it's like, he was like, well, you're going to get over it because at the end of the day, what I'm going to do through you is not about you.
Yeah, it's so, a lot bigger.
It's bigger. Yeah.
It's a lot bigger than any insecurities that you have.
Yes. And how about you? Like, have you had those moments of feeling that way about yourself?
Okay. I'll be completely transparent because you are so good at being transparent. But yeah, I have a stutter and I've gotten way better. But, you know, when I was a little kid, it was, you know, really bad. And, you know, I went through speech therapy, all kind of stuff. But it's something that I've always been super insecure and ashamed about, you know. And I'm not going to lie, the day that you invited me onto your show, even though I knew what an amazing opportunity it was, and despite how much like respect and admiration I have for you, there was a huge part of me that wanted to say no, that was like, heck no, I'm not going to go on camera and do a podcast, and you know, but it was because of fear. It was because of like, what if I stutter on camera? Like, what if I stutter in the middle? You know, like, what if I can't articulate the thoughts in my head? Like, what, you know, and it was all these negative thoughts, like you said, like, what if, you know, and just hyper-focusing on, like, you.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I said yes, it was because stutter and all, my voice still matters, and your voice matters, and the show matters, and what you're doing is so much more bigger than any insecurity you may have or I may have.
Yeah.
It's for a divine purpose, I guess you could say. Yeah. It's for a higher power. And I feel like it exists so much higher than me, you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we need to get over ourselves almost.
Like, get out of our own ways.
We need to get out of our own ways. And unfortunately, our bodies are important and they're home. But they were meant to partner with you to help you experience life, to help you create the life that you want to live, to help you pursue the dreams on your heart. But they were never meant to like hold you back.
Yeah.
They're just supposed to like support you and what you want to do in life, you know?
So that's so proud of you for being able to get over that. Because honestly, like when you said yes, I was like, absolutely. Like I'm so – even after our conversation, I was like, this is the kind of conversation that – I feel like we need to have because I know so many women that feel that way and they let that stop them. And honestly, I didn't even know you had a stutter. Like, since I've met you, I'm going to be so
He said, thanks, girl.
No, but honestly, like, I feel like even the way that you show up, like, you're confident, like, it's like, I've never seen that. But you see, that's the thing, right? Like, from the outside, what people see, it's like, oh my gosh, she's so confident. But it's like how we can be the ones that are telling ourselves that.
Oh my God.
And it's being so like, oh my God, if they hear that, they're going to think I don't know what I'm talking about, or they're going to think that I'm, you know, dumb or all these things that it's like,
like no, who's gonna take me seriously if I do this? Yeah. Like you really do think like I could record a video and I'm just like, this is a terrible video. Yeah. Like it's, I look so awkward. And then you could watch it and be like, oh, you did a great job. And I'm like, really? Like,
yes.
Like you really are your worst critic. And all these thoughts about like your body and like yourself really do exist only in your head.
Yeah.
And even if like there are, I'm sure there are people who may comment or who may think or judge you in a certain way, but their judgments don't pay your bills. Like, you know,
exactly.
At the end of the day, you have to be okay with yourself and there's a dream on your heart. And I feel like you have to do everything that you can to actually live out the life that you want to live.
Yeah, you know? For sure. And I think that even with what we started talking about like body positivity, like I feel like there's a lot of like bad things that people say about that, because I definitely feel like body positivity was that, what that has done for me, and I'm going to just talk for my opinion. I feel like that has been like, your body's not everything. Like I feel like that's the biggest thing. Like your body's not everything. Like there's someone out there that needs to see you no matter what shape you are. But at the same time, like, I'm really huge on like health. So like if you're healthy, you naturally like charts, you know what I mean? That's what I mean. Chart healthy, like that you feel like you're able to walk and you're able to do the things and you're able to, you know what I mean? Like do, like live your life and not let that stop you. Like, I feel like that's amazing. You know, that's what I always think. It's not really the shape that you are. It's the health that you are, you know?
And how you feel too.
And how you feel.
That is, I'm so happy you brought that up because I feel like health looks so different on everybody depending on your body type, your genetics, basically. Like, someone else's healthy could look very different than my own healthy, you know? And you're right. The body positivity movement, I love it because it embraces the fact that there are many different bodies and different types of like healthy, you know? But you're right. I feel like there's a part of the body positivity movement that's a little bit too like all accepting, like almost like, oh, just accept your body as it is and don't do anything about it. But like you said, I'm very big on health and I don't think you need to force your body to look a certain way, but I do think you take care of your body, and that involves, you know, drinking your water, eating good food, moving in a way that actually feels good, that actually supports you and your goals, basically. So I feel like when it comes to body positivity, I love it in the sense that like now you're seeing so much more types of beauties out there when before it was just like one size fits all, basically. But I do think that because our bodies are our homes, we have the responsibility to take care of it if we're going to be living in this body for the rest of our lives. Yeah. Does that make sense?
For sure. Yeah. And then also, like, what we're teaching eventually, like, our children, like, our girls and our boys. Because even guys, like, I've talked to guys that are like, oh, no, I have felt insecure about my body. And I'm like, what?
Like, I know. Guy,
wow. That's like, I don't know why I was surprised about that. Like, even guys that work out there are buff. Like, I'm talking to you, like ripped guys that I would think that they're like the most confident. Sometimes they're super insecure.
Yeah.
And so it makes you feel like we all can struggle with that, you know, at men a different capacity. Yeah. Men and women. And also like how that looks like for us and what practical things we're doing for that. And so I want to ask you, you know, you have a journal about all things movement, what to do, tips and all of that. So what are some tips? Can you talk about that and as well as some tips for how you live and in wellness and take care of your body practically?
Okay. Yes. So I do have a fitness journal and it's very unlike any type of fitness journal on the market, I believe, just because it's built like almost like a weekly guided journal and a fitness tracker in one. So every week starts with a short chapter written to help reframe your mindset around health, wellness, and fitness and exercise. So that way, as you show up and start moving, you're doing it from a place of love and not from a place of hate. So you're really trying to like reframe your relationship with exercise. Because remember, before I used to move from a place of like punishment and now I do it from a place of love. And that's kind of like what I want everyone to kind of get through when they have the journal. After the chapter, you have about 5 days of a workout log where you can kind of track what you're doing, whether you're running or lifting or doing yoga, whatever it is, you're tracking what you're doing. And then the week ends with a reflection page where you can kind of take a few moments just to look back and see what went well and what didn't go well. And just so that way you could show up better the next week. So that is a 12-week fitness journal. For me, the things that I feel like that have helped me is one, starting my day with gratitude. You know, when I wake up, I have my little journal and I write down what I'm grateful for. And a lot of it has to deal with what am I grateful that my body is able to do? Like, oh, I was able to, you know, wake up today and I was able to go to the bathroom by myself. And, you know, I was able to hug my husband and talk on the phone with my, you know, my mom or something. I think about things that I'm grateful that my body allows me to experience rather than what it looks like, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you're not tracking like lost an inch today.
Yes.
Like every day. Like it's more of like things that you're doing.
Exactly.
Even though you could have those goals of like losing weight.
Right. And I want to know, like, it's not bad to want to lose weight or to want to get stronger, you know? But I believe that the best way to stay consistent is to think about your body in the sense of what it allows you to experience every day, you know, because again, your body is your home and it's where you get to experience like the love that people have for you, you know, where you get to live out your passions and your dreams. So I always start my day with like gratitude, and it could be very simple, like one or two things basically. And I always drink water first, okay, before.
No coffee?
No, right? I drink coffee. I love coffee. I'm trying to like calm down a little bit, but I make it a rule that before I drink anything else, whether it's coffee or juice, I do drink water, okay? Because there's nothing more nourishing and more loving to give your body something as cleansing and pure as water. And that's it desperately needs it in the morning after being like asleep for 8 hours, okay? So gratitude, water first. And then I always do a little bit of movement, and it doesn't have to be like an hour workout. In the morning, you know, you wake up and you're in a certain position for too long. You're going to be stiff, and a lot of people just wake up and then just try to go straight to work. But your body needs to kind of like warm up a little bit. So I usually do like a 3-minute, 5-minute stretch where I'm just stretching my body, you know, breathing deeply, kind of just starting my day off. And even during those, I'm like thanking my body. Oh, thank you for waking up. And, you know, thank you for allowing me to move this way, you know. So gratitude, water first, and some type of like really short, simple movement, you know. And then that's pretty much how I start my day. And I feel like that sets me up for the day. And the days that I can't do that or something, or that I find that I wake up late and I just go, oh my God, I'm like short fuse. I can't.
Like that's your prep. That's like your, so that's your morning routine. Really.
Yes, exactly. And of course, prayer too. I talk to God too as well. But yeah, and I feel like that's something that everybody can do now that's so simple, doesn't cost any money. And it's just so good for your body and your mind and your soul.
I love that. I know that some people like the most people I feel like are morning, like they do some kind of morning routine. I hear a lot of people talk about a morning routine. I love mornings of like walk or workout. I'm definitely more that than the evening. I feel like also then I can't go to sleep. If I work out too late, I feel like my heart rate is like.
You're like wired.
Yes. Like, literally, when I go to salsa and it's super late, it takes me like an hour or two to go to sleep. I'm like, I'm done. But yeah, definitely the mornings of like starting off. I love that. The gratitude. Water first. Definitely have worked on that because I used to go straight to coffee. And I would start feeling the anxiety.
And you start feeling the jittery. And it dehydrates you too. And like you're already dehydrated as it is. It's like you're drinking something that's extra dehydrating on top of that. So
literally.
Definitely water first. And that just allows your brain to kind of like wake up and, it, you know, it hydrates it. So you can actually make more clear decisions afterwards. But yeah, that's something that I do every day. And I feel like it just preps you for the morning. It's something that everybody can do and it's free. So
And I love the body challenge, the body love challenge that you just did. What was your favorite part about that?
Oh, I feel like my favorite part about that was just honestly sharing more about the journey, you know, because it really is a journey. It isn't something that you can do once and it just, oh, I feel love already. It's something that it's a choice that you really have to make every single day to choose to love and be compassionate towards yourself, you know. And that's why I had it over a period of 15 days is because, you know, it isn't a one thing and just do it. That's it. It's something that there's different things that you should do every single day, you know? And I think my favorite part was really reclaiming your name. And it was like the very first one that I did on day one. And it was really, I had made a handout and it was, it challenged you to sit and think about what were some of the names and beliefs that you had over your body and where those beliefs came from. And then it really challenged you to take back that power, to realize that body shame wasn't your fault, that it was something that you were taught, but now you're taking back control, you know, and that in order to be the person that you were born to be, there's some things that need to be changed within your mind, you know, and just how you carry yourself and how you treat yourself. You know? So I think that was like my favorite part is just like reclaiming that name and taking back that power, you know, and renaming your body with really powerful names that you want to be spoken over yourself.
Yes, you know? I love that. No, I loved you guys need to follow her for all of that because she definitely did. I love that day. And I was it was the one letter to your body.
Yeah.
Girl. I was like, I would need some time. No, but I've done that activity before in therapy too. So I was like, all right, we know. But I think that that was so great to put like words to it, you know, and kind of thank your body for like all that it has brought you through. And all that you have, like, because our body stores memories, our body stores everything that we've experienced. And it's also, like how you said, that home. So it's like, how can I make this home healthy, you know? And so I'm on that journey. I know a lot of you guys are on that journey. And I know that sometimes January and like all that push of like, we need to get like our best version, you know, ever. But it's like how you said, it's long term. It's not just like the short term, because there's so many times that we hear about all the fad diets, everything. But it's like, how will that look like for you? And so I want people to follow you and like connect with you and all of that. So can you share a little bit about where they can find you and your...
So this is a fitness journal. It's called Move with Purpose. You could follow me on Instagram and TikTok at TheMelaVie, or you can go to our website at www.themelaVie.com. And if you are interested in getting the journal, I'm actually giving all your listeners 30% off with the code BeautyMarks30. Okay, so...
Awesome. We will put that all in the show notes. And thank you so much. Honestly, you are a natural. And I just want to say that I am encouraged from this conversation. I feel like just the way that you explain our body as a home, I feel like that is such a great like mental picture for someone to take versus the sometimes what we hear, you know, about our body. So thank you so much for sharing and encouraging someone today.
Thank you so much for having me, Elizabeth.
Of course. And I know we'll connect more. We actually have an event in April we'll talk more about soon. But thank you guys so much for tuning into this week's podcast episode. I hope that you can take this episode as a way to see yourself beyond just external looks and dig deeper, like how we talked about today. I feel like, what are the names that have been told of you, or what are the experiences that you have been through, you know, and also how you can reclaim that and like not let your body hold you back from doing the things that God has put in your heart, and work towards that, those things. So make sure to subscribe to this podcast, leave a review, and follow us for more. Follow me at Elizabeth Savvy, and I will see you guys next week.